command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. We're running a little late this evening. Sorry about that. But we made it. It's the 7th of January. It's a Wednesday. I know some of you missed Amy in there tonight, but get used to it. Wednesday nights is not going to be her night. We've got other obligations and things going on, and we want to allow for Mom's Mother Earth and Concrete to do their live show. So that's just the way it is. But all things work out right, and the creek don't rise, and all of that. Well, I'll be here five nights a week. So, one of the things we didn't talk about last night, and I'm not going to spend much time on it because it makes me sick and I don't want to do it, and that is the fact that John Boehner was elected again, or voted as a Speaker of the House again. And that astounds me. It absolutely amazes me. All these Republicans talking all this smack about what they're going to do and all the things they're going to change and all this aggressive rah, rah, rah stuff. And then they put Boehner back in there. I don't get it. I am of the opinion that we're not going to see a whole lot of change with Boehner in there. I think we'll see some. I mean, that's obviously, well, maybe I shouldn't say obviously. I feel like that there'll be some improvements. Things will get a little better. Not enough better to get us out of this mess that we're in. I was talking, one of the things, Wednesday nights, I don't have a whole lot of time to get ready because I got Boy Scouts and stuff and other obligations during the day. But anyway, the first off, before I get started in this, let me check and see. Let me see a show of hands, everybody that can hear me out there. We got Sam. Amy's got her hand up. She says it's 5x5. So let's check and see. Of course, we got a little bit of delay again. I don't know why we have such a delay. It didn't used to be that way. It was a few times, but well, it looks like we do. The Tinker just responded to what we were talking about there, hope for change. So we're talking again, and it's getting to be more and more prevalent in different places, whether it's, you know, church, barbershop, gun shops, beer joints, golf courses, you know, wherever it may be. We're hearing the same discussion, and we talked about it tonight at Boy Scout, at the end of Boy Scouts. One of the other leaders came by, and we are still astounded at the amount of people that just flat don't get it. And we talk about this all the time. We'll probably talk about it from now on until the lights go out. But I don't see how we can be this far along and this many signs literally daily and people not see what's going on and not be absolutely terrified at what our future has in store. I say terrified for the average person. Some of us are looking at this as just a new normal. It's unavoidable. There's no point in crying over spilt milk, as they say. It's the milk is falling out of the glass right now, and there's not anything we can do about it at this point. We had our chance, and we screwed it up. We should have, whatever we was going to fix, we should have fixed years ago. Not last year. Not 2 or 3 years ago. This is something that should have started getting fixed, you know, 50 years ago. As of about 10 years ago, it was completely unfixable at that point. And as of the last 4 or 5 years, then we're definitely at the point of no return. And it is going to be my, you know, I hope that things stay together long enough for me to go do that class up in Washington in June. And I'm not being, you know, pessimistic or facetious or trying to be funny. Or I really hope things hold together for 6 months till we can get that class. I'm really looking forward to doing that class up there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got our Counter-Strike class coming up. I'm sure we'll be able to get that one. That's just in a couple of weeks. So we'll, 3 weeks, whatever it is. So it'll be on the 24th here. But, we you know, thankfully, we are seeing, and that's, you know, Edge of the Woods. That, I think that's probably what I mean, you know, what you're saying there. That's pretty much what I'm talking about. They're feeding on themselves. I feel like that we can't get around this, and that we will establish a new normal. It won't be as pleasant as the old normal. I keep thinking about the way things. I'm a little older than most of y'all in the chat room. Not as old as a couple of you, but you know, in the 60s and 70s, it was well. I don't need to get into that again. We've talked about it before. We're going to miss the old days for a while, but we're going to have to establish that new normal, and we're going to have to get used to it. And that's just the way it's going to be. We're not going to have a choice. I do feel a little bit a little sorry for our youth that's not going to get to experience some of the things we did, but they will come up in this new normal as well. And it is what it is. That's what's just going to have to happen. So I guess everybody saw today that the terror attack in France. I think that this is going to be one of those new normals, one of a part of that new normal that we're talking about here. And we're going to see more and more, though. What have we seen here in the last, 2 weeks? We've seen cops shot, bombing in Denver, terror attack in France. I don't remember what all else, I can't, but their terror alert in France is way up right now. I've heard, I haven't checked, I've been busy this evening, I heard that one of the terrorists has been killed, another one has been captured. I don't know about the third one. So if you guys have some insight on that, please share it with us in the chat room. I don't know what's going on there. But as unfortunate as it was, it's predictable. It's one of those things like the shooting of the police officer is predictable. There's going to be more of them. We're going to see it more frequently. And so far, I haven't been blowing smoke about that. That has happened just exactly like we've talked about here on the shooting bench, about the things that are some of these attacks and things getting more frequently. Peanut Rider, you know, it very well could be. Yeah, that thing in Australia, you're right. Yakima Glock, Peanut Rider, yeah. It very well could be a false flag. I don't know. But it's like everybody else with got any damn sense at all. I worry about my family. I worry about our future a little bit. But anyway. Yeah, there was 10 earthquakes. That was something. That was kind of weird. 10 earthquakes. And if I'm not mistaken, it was around the Dallas area. Edge of the Woods put that in there. I just saw a brief thing on that. I haven't really had. I've been working hard on website and our new shop out here and everything, and I didn't get to do nearly all the things that I wanted to do, but it I did see a little map that showed a ton of moderate earthquakes around Dallas. So I got to thinking about that when I saw that, and I thought about some of these places that say, well, we're in a pretty good place. You know, none of that kind of stuff ever happens around here. You know, we never had 10 earthquakes in Dallas before either. There's a little place here south of where we're at right now here in Arizona that's experienced numerous earthquakes throughout this last few months. And I don't think you're going to be able to choose
that place that is the place. I think that there's going to be stuff everywhere, and the only way for you to survive this is through common sense, perseverance, a good, strong, defensive type, you know, survival mindset, training, the right product, right kind of gear, weapons, and I hope that you can get through it. I don't know what else to tell you. But for these millions and millions of people that have not caught on to this yet, it's too late for them. Those bodies are going to start piling up pretty quick. So, all right. Well, let's get off that. I see some gun talk in there. Let me throw my 2 cents worth in here. They're talking about powders for 223. 223 is not a finicky eater. There's a lot of you can change its diet pretty frequently, and it doesn't really care. There's a lot of good powders for it. 4198 is a great powder for the 223. Matter of fact, and I've told you all before, my best group with the 223 was 36 thousandths of an inch with, I think it was 21 grains of 4198. I sacrificed some velocity, but boy, I tell you what, I stacked them one on top of the other. 2230, Accurate Arms 2230. Is it Accurate Arms? Yeah, Accurate Arms 2230 is a really good powder for 223. There's a lot of stuff. I've never spent a lot of time with 3031. I try to, on the small cases like that, I try to stay away from the stick powders, the extruded powders like that as much as I can. Although I believe 4198 was a stick powder, but it's pretty small in size, and it went in there. The thing is that you wind up, your powder measure says you're putting in however many grains, say 21 grains, and unless you tap that handle a little bit and get some consistency in there, you can get a huge variation unless you're measuring every single load. If you're depending on your powder measure, you're going to get some variation in there in stick powder, which is why I like the ball and the flake powder a little better if I'm running it through a measure and trying to get some production out of it. But any of it works. And actually, when I was shooting a lot of competition and stuff, I measured pretty much everything anyway, so that I was getting the consistency that I needed to shoot those groups that measure in thousandths of an inch. You know, so I've got a story that Casper Mountain sent me today. It was actually in the American Rifleman in December, and there's some things to be learned here, a couple of things to ponder on, and we've talked about both of them here before. But this is a 89-year-old veteran who has kind of brought this to light here a little bit. Guy was a decorated World War II vet, was working at his jewelry business, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Man came in with a gun. The old feller grabbed a 38 caliber handgun that he was carrying in his pocket. Would-be robber exchanged fire with Lewis before fleeing the scene. He was later found at the local hospital, suffering from 6 gunshot wounds. After being treated, the assailant was arrested and now faces charges of armed robbery, felony in possession of firearm, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, armed burglary. The old man got a little graze on his arm, otherwise he didn't get hurt. So, what's the lessons to be learned here? Well, this guy works in a jewelry store, so it would seem fairly obvious to me that it's a little bit more of a target, as it would seem obvious to me as we talked last night. Cops, just because they're cops, are a little bit more of a target, I would think. I guess the first lesson here is have a gun. Have it with you. Have it on you. Have it handy. Have it immediately accessible. And he did. The other thing he did is he had the right mindset. He didn't wait to see what was going on. He knew he could see what was going on. He depended on his intuition or whatever it was, and went to blazing away at him. Now, the downsides here are, now I can't say what kind of bullets he was using. I have no idea. Yeah, I know it was a .38 special, but I don't know if he was using round nose lead bullets or, you know, full metal jackets, hollow points plus P's. I have no idea. What I do know is that the guy took 6 shots with a .38. Why did he run away? He ran away because he knew he was getting shot at. He didn't have the mindset. If he made it to the local hospital and everything was going to be charged, then there was he wasn't hurting too bad. If that would have been maybe a different caliber, maybe different styles of bullets, like I said, I don't have any idea what he was shooting. But the deal here is that the guy that he was shooting at, the bad guy, was didn't have the mindset to stick around. He was getting shot at and left. Now, had he been on drugs, a little more experienced, enraged, drunk, whatever the case may have been, then it may not have turned out so good for the old man. He fired all his rounds. Now, a good thing, he hit him 6 times. Outstanding. Very nice. I don't know how far away the guy was, but in that kind of conditions, that kind of situation, if you hit him 3 out of 6, you're doing probably better than average, certainly better than NYPD. But he hit him all 6 times. Excellent shooting. But, it may have been that he hit him in the right arm and the left arm and once in the thigh, and, you know, we don't have any idea where. But he hit him 6 times. This is reminiscent of, you remember the girl, the mother in Georgia here about, what was it, I don't remember how long ago, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5. I don't remember how long ago that was. But this was a mother with 2 or 3 kids with her. And a guy came in, threatened her. She grabbed her .38, did everything right, charged upstairs, went up in the attic, had no place else to go, and wound up having to shoot the guy. She shot 6 times, hit him 5 out of 6. He fell down the steps, went and got in his truck, drove away, and crashed into a tree later on. So again, if the guy would have had the mindset, drunk, enraged, drugs, whatever, the girl shot her gun empty. So if the guy would have charged, come on up instead of going down, he could have, because he made it down, made it outside, got in his truck, backed out of the driveway, and drove away before he crashed into the tree. Fact is, he knew he was being shot, just like the guy that Lewis was shooting. If he, Casper Mountain, thank you for sending that. Yeah, we talked about that, hitting him all 6 times. Excellent shooting. Minnie, you better hush, or I'm going to be on my way to Texas, and I'll have me some grits and sausage gravy. Yeah, that'd be okay. I'd be all over that. Of course, I'm having a hard enough time. I was doing so good, and then Christmas and Thanksgiving came along, and so I've got to be a little bit more diligent and stay away from the grits and sausage gravy and biscuits and stuff for a couple of weeks here until I get squared away again. But I guess the several things here, both of these shooters, both of the old man and the mother, did everything that I think they should have done. Not that my opinion means anything, but let's see here. I've got to hang on 1 second here. I'm going to play a little break. I've got an urgent thing I need to take care of here real quick. So give me a few minutes and I'll be right back. Let's see here. We played that last night. Let's play this again just because I like it.
I'll be back.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday. Supper time, I answer to what I've done. Hoops today, Blunt forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I burn in hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Check my chat room, see what's going on here, and I've got a story. I probably ought to save this for Amy, but I think I'm going to jump on it here with my, if I can get everything to work. Come on. There we go. Wow. Milk almost $4 a gallon. By the way, Amy, if you look at back to basic there, B2 basic, that's Tampico Scout's wife. That's who used to be tampon, what was it? Tamp 39 mom, that's what it was. Yeah. So anyway, she didn't like the tampon thing, so she changed it. So if you're wondering, that's who that is now. She's saying milk's almost $4 a gallon. Y'all need to move to Arizona. We've had milk here. What was? Yeah. What was? What's our cheapest milk here's been in the last few months? I know I've seen it at $1.78, $1.80, $1.90, many times. Once in a while, it'll sneak up there, just over $3. But for the most part, it's been around $2, so not too bad. All right. Kit joined us. Welcome. Glad to see you in there. LB San. Who else we got in here? Let me check and see. Back to basic Tampico Scout and them. Yakima Glock's starting to be pretty regular. I don't know what happened to Amanda. I haven't seen her for a while. Got a handful of anonymous in there. Kit's getting to be pretty regular. TG Voss, welcome, buddy. I haven't seen you for a while. And then we've got our regulars in there, so there we go. All righty, let me get this thing out of the way here, and we'll continue to march. Come on. Wow. You know, Doc, I got to throw in a remark for what you said last night. I saw that either Mountain Shooter, I think it was Mountain Shooter, said something about it a little earlier. And that's about the shorter barrels on the 223. And I think that what you said is definitely holds some merit, but I think it depends largely on... We actually bought some of those one time.
It's real?
Yeah, oh yeah. We used to have some. Amy just showed me a picture of a bayonet on a... That's a Glock, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jason and I, just as a kind of a gimmick, bought two or three of those one time, put them in. We sold them. Somebody bought them. I don't remember who. But it's kind of stupid. But we just put them in there as kind of a gimmick. I didn't think anybody would actually buy them. We only bought a couple of them. But it's a bayonet that goes on a pistol. All else fails, run out of ammo, then there you go. You got your pistol knife ready to go. But anyway, we talked about the shorter barrel on the 223. When it's kind of like it's basically the same argument as the heavy bullet, light bullet thing, kind of. Yeah, the velocity is great, but is it always necessary? I think that when you're going through buildings and stuff, you need the compactness of the 12 and 14 inch barrel, 9 inch barrel, you know, that they have. The bad thing about that is, good God almighty, unbelievable loud. Jeez, oh Pete. The short barrel 223 is absolutely, it's got to be one of the loudest shoulder fired weapons in the world. It's just it's crazy. But the convenience of that, especially after they went to the heavy bullets, you know, that made a lot of difference. That almost moved 223 into a whole nother class there when you started shooting those 62, 69, 70, 75 grain bullets, 80 grain bullets in there. The short barrel, yes, you lose some velocity, and it's probably not anything you want to go prairie dog hunting with and expect to make good hits out to 400, 500, 600 yards. But when you've got man-sized targets inside of a couple of hundred yards, mostly inside of 25 yards, then I'd have to say I think that's a great idea. Amy just showed me another sign here. Said guns don't kill people; gaping holes in vital organs kill people. Yeah, that's right, and that's what needs to happen to these terrorists over there. Yeah, Edge of the Woods, I remember that was a Hungarian, what the hell was it? Hungarian something or another. Anyway, it had a 14-inch barrel with a 2-inch long flash suppressor on it that was permanently welded on to make it legal. And I'll tell you what, that flash suppressor did not suppress the flash, and it was so loud. We had video of that for a long time. I don't know if I've still got it or not, but it was way, way loud. However, it was not nearly as loud as a 12-inch 223. That's just astonishing how loud that is. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. You know, with the 308s, it used to be, everything, really. Everybody wanted 24, 26-inch barrels, and the velocity was the thing. And then they worked on trying to put harmonic balancers on the barrel and bedding and free-floating and pillar bedding and all this stuff to try to get the accuracy that they wanted along with the velocity. And then a few years ago, they decided that, you know what? We're beating a dead horse here. I think we can sacrifice a little bit of velocity and make this accuracy easier to deal with. So the shorter, sturdier barrels wound up being, that's why your 20-inch 308s now are pretty much the norm. They've taken 4 to 6 inches off of a lot of those and found out that, you know, we can get away, we can live without the, you know, that 250, 300 feet a second velocity that we're losing in order to gain the accuracy, you know, get the accuracy potential out of it. So, we did, I pretty well proved that with mine. The 308 that Jason has, I guess he still has it. I wish I had it back. I wish I'd never sold it to him. But it was a 26-inch Remington PSS, and it shot pretty well. And instead of messing with it and trying to get it to shoot better, I just whacked 6-7 inches off the barrel and got it down to 19 inches. And I want to tell you what, it sucked it right up there. It was a one-hole shooter after that. But the vibration, the harmonics of the barrel changes dramatically when you get that length out of there. And it made it a little easier to handle, a little lighter, tiny bit louder. Recoil was negligible. But the accuracy, it sucked it up right away quick. It was an easy, quick fix to what was a minor problem to start with. So I don't know if the same is, the same holds true as far as accuracy goes in a AR-style platform. I've said before, if I had extra money, disposable cash, or if somebody just wants to give me one, I would take an AR for varmint target purposes. I don't mind shooting them when they shoot. I've just had I'm just not a big fan, but I would take one. I don't want one for a main fighting long gun, but if somebody wants to just send me one, well, I'll take a 20-inch 223 flat top, and I'll take it from there. I'll work on the trigger and get the rest of it squared away and turn it into a... You know, I really honestly, you know, I hate to say this as much as I've talked bad about them, but I honestly wouldn't mind having an AR-15 for a truck gun. I do... Very much like the 223 cartridge for the type of terrain that I live in, for the type of varmints and targets of opportunity that arise around here, 223 is a great choice. That would give me the varmint accuracy that I want, that I desire for that type of cartridge. and it also gives me something that if I am forced into fighting with it, I have that opportunity as well. And you know, and I've never wavered from this. Obviously, you're never going to get the ever going to get the accuracy out of any AK. I don't care how much money you put into them, as you will an average AR-15. Now, Arsenal AKs are great machines. It's not too hard to find an AK that shoots an inch, but it's not too hard to find an AR that shoots a quarter, 3/8 of an inch. You'll never make an AK get close to an AR. So, Doc, I've wondered about that several times. What happened? There it is. It's back. My personal choice, if I was stuck in that position and had the opportunity to make the choice, hell yes, I'd take a 14-inch 12-gauge over anything. And as far as room clearing and stuff goes, and I think that would be, I don't know how you could get a whole lot better. I am a huge, monumental fan of a shotgun for a lot of things, particularly room entry. So, but I wouldn't be opposed to having a short-barreled AR, especially a gas gun, that if I knew it was going to work. Otherwise, I'd just stick with my AK. So. All right, where are we getting here? We've got, SHOT Show's coming up pretty quick. And I've been kind of debating whether or not I wanted to make an appearance over there. And I kind of thought that I might go over and try to promote some of the things that we do. Not get a booth or anything, just kind of walk around with business cards and brochures and whatnot. But I think I'm not going to. I've got, it's too many things going on here. We got classes coming up. We got to go to New Mexico sometime here in the next not too distant future, and twice actually, and pick up some stuff. So we're going to have a busy time here for the next probably 30 to 45 days. We're going to be doing several things. So I think I'm going to have to skip SHOT Show this year. I went last year. It was a lot of fun. Saw a lot of stuff. But working on the new shop, getting the FFL, getting my New Mexico concealed carry instructor certification back. Got quite a number of people over in New Mexico that want me to do a class for them. So it would be behoove me and hopefully be worth the wait for them for me to get that taken care of. And I've got the shop going here. I got to get some pictures of that, get my FFL back. There's people that want to send me Glocks to work on. So trying to get all this stuff taken care of. We're basically busier than one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest right now. So if we don't respond as quickly as we normally do to emails and stuff, give us a little bit of time. We answer everything sooner or later. LB Sand, I don't know how recoil sensitive you are, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not recoil sensitive, but I very much adore the 22 Magnum. I'm a huge fan of the 22 Magnum. Matter of fact, you know, I don't think I told y'all. I got my beautiful bride a 22 Magnum, a little Savage 93, for Christmas. We've had some coyote issues around here and things. And most of my guns are just got the length of pull is just way too long for her, and she doesn't shoot them well because she struggles with getting them into a decent firing position. So I got her a little Savage 93. It's just a touch too long, but I think that I can take care of that for her. She can shoot it. It's comfortable enough for her, but in order for it to be perfect, I may need to tune it up just a little bit. But with all the different types of bullets there are for 22 Magnum and stuff now, it's the cat's meow for coyote medicine. It works exceedingly well. It works well on deer. It works well on rabbits. If you use the full metal jacket, use 40 grain full metal jackets on rabbits if you're going to eat them. If you're not going to eat them, then it doesn't make any difference. But if you use one of these newer, faster 25, 28, 30 grain varmint bullets to shoot a cottontail in the wrong place, then you're going to have cottontail soup, and you're going to have to scrape most of it off the bushes around the area where the rabbit was, because it will definitely blow them up. But I've said before, if you could only choose one long gun and only given a certain amount of ammo that you could carry, well, the 22 Magnum is the absolute hands down undisputed champion there. If hell, you can carry easily, especially if you're putting some of it in a backpack, hell, you could carry 5,000 rounds. You can't do that with any of the centerfires. You put 2,000 rounds, 2,500 rounds of 223s, you can put 500 in the pockets of your cargo pockets and all of that stuff. Piece of cake. Another 500 or 1,000 in a backpack, and if you took your time and placed your shots carefully, that's going to last you quite a while. I think it's according to actual shootings, it's not certainly not the man stopper the 223 is, or the AK by any means. Both of those are in the upper 90s, some of them into 100% one shot stop probability. But it's in the, with these newer bullets, I'm guessing there hasn't been any studies done yet on the newest of the bullets. But before, when they just had the plain old everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, plain Jane, standard 40-grain full metal jackets and hollow points, they were about a 40 to 45% one-shot stopper. So twice as good as the 22, twice as good as the 25. With this newer bullets, I can't help but think that you're getting up into 60-some percent, which puts you right on line with the 32 caliber hollow points, the 38 special plus P, the 380, or almost a 380. 380 is at 70%, so you're not quite there. But for the lack of recoil noise, being able to carry that much ammo and things, not a bad choice for it. I can tell you, I've shot enough deer and enough rabbits and enough, lots of stuff with the 22 Magnum. I can tell you, I can stand right here with my bare face hanging out in front of everybody with my right hand in there and tell you, I don't care nothing about being shot with a 22 Magnum. I don't want any part of it. I don't care what kind of bullet you use. I've dropped I don't know how many deer in their tracks with a 22 Magnum, and this coyote I shot out here the other day, right behind the front shoulder, he made about two little circles and tipped over, and that was the end of that. So I don't want nothing to do with it. All right, we're just about done. Let me check my chat room real quick and see what's going on here. And one thing I love about that, we have so many discussions and differences of opinion here on different things, and we haven't seen a single argument on here since the Watchmen broke up. I don't think I have in any way. I mean, there's been a few trolls that we've had to nuke and get out of here before they cause problem, but in our family, in our survival circle family, We have never had a difference of opinion so much that there was ever any name calling anything that's ever gone on in our chat room. And I'm really proud of that. And there's not a hell of a bunch of them out there with all of the type A personalities and the type of things that we discuss, the subjects that we cover. There's not too many of them out there that can say that. I've seen some vicious name calling and resulting in suspensions and bans on Glock Talk and AR15.com and any number of other chat rooms and forums and stuff. So I want to thank everybody for being civil and using good sense, common sense, and being able to work these things out and be able to have these differences in opinion and still get along and have a good time. So with all that being said, it's just pretty close to my bedtime. Let me look and see the... Yeah, Mountain Shooter, if you're looking for 22 Magnum ammo, don't bother traveling anywhere east to find any. It ain't just on the West Coast, buddy. It doesn't exist. If you don't have any, you're not going to get any. I'm hoping that... I don't know when. It's been that way for 2 years. Every once in a while, you can go to one of these... box stores, and they'll happen to get a few boxes in. If you're not standing there when it hits the door, you ain't even going to smell it. It's not going to happen. So I don't know what to tell you. I wish I had an answer for you. I really do. I wish I had an answer for me. I've got quite a few, but I use it very sparingly. I don't do any target practicing, messing around with it, because I think I'm probably at the limit right now. I've probably got... I might have 1,000 or 1,200, something like that. And maybe 2,000. I probably got 2,000. And I'm going to hold on to it until I can see it. Every box I see, I grab it because it's just not available. I hate it. But it is what it is. All right. Well, ladles and jelly spoons, I think I need to ease on out of here and hit the road. Jack? We'll see y'all tomorrow night for the all firearms related edition of the Shooting Bench. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.